the blood will never lose its power. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Ladies, for leading us. I want you to take your copy of the Word of God, if you would, and turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. 2 Corinthians is one of, if not my favorite books of the New Testament, of the Bible. I thoroughly enjoy reading through it, like all the books, but I just like its vastness, and though it covers so many things, it's still a book that is very focused in its message, and it always richly blesses me anytime I'm reading through it. And none other than the fact that it's the Word of God, and God's Word is true. We can trust it, and we can lean on it, and I'm thankful that He is the great I Am. Where I am, He's able to meet our needs where we are. There's no one like Him. He's unique. He can't be compared to any other so-called gods out there or any other person. And therefore, He does unique and wondrous works. He only does wondrous things, as the Scripture says. And exactly where we are in life is where He meets us and leads us and guides us. Matter of fact, let's just read. I'm going to read verse number 14 on down to verse number 16. And we will dig in these passages and see what the Lord will have for us today. Some of this will be things we've talked about and looked at and discussed and prayed over, and I pray that they'll continue to speak to us today to help us recognize what God is doing with us and through us. The Scripture says in verse number 14 of 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us or leads us to triumph. That triumph is in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. For we unto God are sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the aroma of death unto death, and to the other the aroma of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things?" Father, we thank You today that we can approach You, that we can bend the knee before You and humble ourselves in Your sight. And as this Scripture reading closed, who is sufficient for these things? As You help us in chapter 3 of this very book You've given us, You teach us that our sufficiency is in Christ Jesus, who's made us a written letter, a testimony, an epistle of Your heart. We ask today that You speak to us, that You help us, that we recognize how You at work, the way that You work, and the things that You do, and we'll be careful to honor You, to praise You, to give You glory, to be strong and vigilant, to keep a watch, to stand firm and movable, abounding in the grace of the Lord Jesus. I love You, I praise You, and we thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, thinking about aromas or fragrances, I brought in a couple of things here that are things that remind me, like this spray right here. See if y'all can smell anything like that. Let's fill this place up with a little smell. I like things that smell good, Keith. I ain't fond of stinking things and stenches. Y'all smell that yet? You smell it yet, Steph? Y'all getting it now? What's that smell like? Got a little cinnamon, spice, a little pumpkin type smell. Kind of puts you in mind of these oatmeal cookies here. We made these oatmeal cookies last week, and Stephanie put some in the refrigerator, and I got thinking about it while I was over there. I had some still in there, so I pulled them out. But when the smell of oatmeal cookies being cooked in the in the oven. You know how that smell will permeate the house? It reminds me of when I was a kid and mom would be cooking oatmeal cookies, and it takes you back. And that's what fragrances do. Fragrance has a way of bringing you back to a place or to a person, and how that person or that place, when you were there, how you felt, the feeling of it, like when you were a kid. That's what it puts me in mind of. I'm going to spray something else in here. We're going to get it good and smelling good today. Some people are going to say, you're going to make me sick, brother. This right here, this is called, how you say that, red currant? Spray it. Here, I'm going to get over here by it. Me too. Y'all smell that? I like that smell. If you go to choking, Deborah knows mouth to mouth. Y'all smell it yet? That red currant smells good. But you know what it smells like? Every time I smell that, is that how you pronounce it, red currant? Every single time I smell that. Now, of course, it's probably not going to smell like it just right now because I sprayed that other pumpkin spice. But just that red currant, which is starting to permeate, starting to take over the smell now. Every time I smell that, it reminds me of when I was a young boy and doing hunting season, deer season. I hadn't found any since then, but when I was a kid, Daddy used this cover-up spray that he would put on that smelled just like that. It has a hint of like an apple, crab apple type smell to it. And I can remember him having that spray, and it was in a bottle that resembled this right here, but the bottle was red, and it had a little silver or from the bottle itself, like the bottom here. And I could remember him spraying that, and he would spray it on him, and he'd spray it on me, and we'd go off in the wood. And I love the way it smells. And every time I smell that, Mr. Bud, it takes me back to a time that I was a kid going hunting. And, you know, Dalton's age, that's how old I was. And as I got a little bit older, he had it. My brothers and I would slip in my daddy's room every once in a while, and he had a big gun cabinet in there, and he didn't keep it locked. If he kept it locked, we knew how to get the key to get to it. And we'd done some crazy stuff as kids and some of the things we did. But every once in a while, Rusty, we'd slip in and open that up, and I'd find where he had his cover-up spray. And I'd get it, and I'd just squirt it one time. And I'd smell it, and I'd put it back up, and we'd go on and go play because I liked the way it smelled. And when I smell that, it takes me back to that time. And I just remember being a young boy, having a good time with life, being with my dad, my brothers, going hunting. Every single time I smell it, Stephanie will spray it every once in a while in the house. Soon as I get a whiff of it, it takes me back just like that to being a child. We were coming through Quitman Friday. We had to go down to Pensacola, found Lauren a place to live, left Friday morning, found it, got back that evening. But Lauren had to go to the restroom really, really bad. Bad, bad. And there was no way we was going to make it to the outpost, so I had to detour to go through Quitman. We pulled in. It was, you know, the rains came through Friday evening, and it had that kind of atmosphere where it just rained. It was kind of an overcast. I got to thinking, really wasn't even paying attention that it was Friday, actually. And something jarred my memory that it was Friday evening. As Lauren got back in the car, and as we were slipping through Quitman, getting on the outskirts of it, it just reminded me of being a young boy living out in Palm Plaza subdivision on a Friday evening after a rain shower in the summertime, when all my buddies and all them might be going to the skating rink and Roller Kingdom, and I wasn't going that night. And I'd be thinking how bad I wanted to go to the Roller Kingdom. See, the girls was at the Roller Kingdom. That's why I wanted to go there. And even seeing old Stephanie a time or two at the Roller Kingdom when we was youngsters, young, and I could see myself when I rode through there, just the smell of that rain shower that come through a Friday evening. I could see myself on my bike out in the subdivision that we lived in, not only wanting to go to the Roller Kingdom, but also thinking about what Daddy was going to bring home for supper. Because on Friday evening, summertime, early summer, he'd bring home crawfish sometimes. Sometime he'd bring home and grill a steak or something like that. Or he would have a steak, Mama would cook us hamburger steak. You know, when you're a kid, Daddy eats steak. Normally you feed the kids hamburger until they get old enough to realize they're not eating steak too. You know, you that's how you do things. But I can remember Mama making them hamburger steak with gravy and smothering in onions. Mr. Bud don't eat onions, but she had smothered them onion. Them things were fine. I like taking a little Worcestershire sauce on it, and even use a little ketchup on it if I wanted to. Oh boy, it was mighty good. Friday evening, I was back there in Palm Plaza Subdivision thinking about what I was going to eat on a normal Friday evening in the summertime when I was about 11, 12 years old. Just because the way things smelled, the way the atmosphere looked, it took me back. You see, and that's exactly what this principle is that we're dealing with in Corinthians. Paul says that God uses his people to diffuse the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. To some people, it's a fragrance of life that leads to life. But to some people, it's a fragrance of death that only leads to death. It's a stench that they don't want any part of. But like the fragrance that takes us back and to these places we remember, that's exactly what happens when we act in the character of Christ and diffuse that aroma. We really don't smell like Jesus. Have y'all ever smelled Jesus? I don't know what Jesus smells like. Do y'all know what he smells like? So when God uses that term, what is he referring to? I believe he was referring to the principles of how when you do smell something that's familiar to you, it brings you back to a place and to a person of how you felt when you smelt that. It gives you memories. And you see, when we walk in the character of the Lord, when we're obeying him and trusting him and living out his ways, what God does is that he constantly diffuses that aroma. He helps people remember what Christ did and how he lived and the way he looked and what he did upon this earth. And the neat thing is, God uses us to do that. Amen? Amen. Causes people to remember Christ. Whether it be praying over somebody's life. Christ prayed over people's lives, didn't he? There were times he laid hands on people. There were times that he spit on a piece of dirt, clay, and put it on people's eyes and prayed over them. There was times he prayed, and when he prayed, things were healed, and in some cases, things were cursed when he prayed. See, but when we pray, and we pray in faith and we trust the Lord, God causes people to remember the dynamic or the aspect of how important it is to pray. If Christ prayed, which was God himself, how much more important is this for us to pray? Amen? And the love that he shared and expressed and gave away, when we do that, when we live that away, it helps people remember what Christ did. And when anytime people remember that in love with Christ, it is a transfer of life. It blesses them. Now, some people don't like seeing the works of the Lord. Why? Because they love darkness. And when you remind them of Christ to do things that Christ taught us to do and how to live, that's a stench in their nostrils. They don't want anything to do with it. It's a stench of death. Stay away from me. I don't want to hear that. But on the other hand, what we ought to be transferring life to one another. Amen? Amen? I want to give you a few things. You probably have already got these written down somewhere, but I'm going to give them to you again. A few things of how we diffuse the aroma of Christ the best. When we are doing these things, I call them seven dynamic seven dimensions of diffusing the aroma of Jesus. Number one, when our reliance is upon the Father, when we rely upon the Lord, and our daily living, the way that we live, when we rely upon Him, we are transferring the knowledge of Christ in every place that we go. Our reliance upon Him. Why? Because Christ was relying upon His Father, wasn't He? He trusted Him. He leaned upon Him. He acknowledged Him. He went to Him in prayer. And that's something that people... What I want to see from you and what I know you would want to see from me is that I rely upon the Lord, that I go to Him, I trust Him, I take Him at His word. Amen? Amen. Now, I can't say I rely upon the Lord and I don't take Him at His word. I don't go to His word. If I'm not spending time finding out what God's done and how He works and why He works, how can I rely upon Him? What does Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will direct your path. So there's a deep principles there, but there's a promise. When I rely upon the Lord, I go to Him, I lean on Him, God's promised to do what for me? Direct my path in life, to make my path clear. And when I know the path I'm on, He's making it clear. I'm following His lead because I'm relying upon Him. Every place I go, the aroma of Christ is being diffused out of my life. And that is simply saying that I remind people the importance of how Jesus lived. And how did Jesus live? He was dependent on His Father too. Amen. And it helps people remember how important that is to live in reliance upon Him. The Bible refers to it as resting in the Lord, or waiting upon the Lord, looking unto the Lord, leaning upon the Lord, relying upon Him. And when we are in reliance upon Him, we are transferring the knowledge of Christ everywhere we go. We're causing people to remember that is what's important about life and living for God when we do that. Amen? And it blesses people. Because sometimes, you know as well as I do, how many of you have been backslidden before? If you won't admit it, are you backslidden right now? You don't have to raise your hand, but just think about it for a moment. Has there ever been a time that you were backslidden in your life and somebody encouraged or strengthened you, and you seen in them their reliance upon the Lord, their faith in Him? They trusted Him. They were waiting upon Him. They were confident in Him because of what He was doing. They knew they had a sense of great purpose in their life, where they were walking, and you realized you done got off the beaten path. You done turned your back to the Lord and wasn't leaning and trusting on Him. And something about them caused you to remember how sweet it was when you were relying upon Him. And how the peace that you had in life, the blessings that you seen in just having, walking with the Lord. And it caused you to remember that time. And you acknowledged that you were wayward. You acknowledged you was backslidden. You turned, you put your trust back in the work, in the ways of God, and God restored you, returned to you the joy of His salvation unto you because you saw somebody else and it caused you to remember. See, that's how God diffuses His aroma. We don't necessarily smell Jesus, even though you probably have heard me say that before. I'm always sniffing for Jesus. I want to smell Jesus on you. I can't smell Him, but I can see Him at work in your life. And when I see Him, it does the same thing as when I smell something, it takes me back to a place that is a great memory for me. A smell. Now, I do have some smells that are not always great. You know, where you smell something, it takes you back to the last time you smelled something like that, and it wasn't a good memory. That happens too. But we're talking about life being transferred. The second thing, let's look at it. Second thing, not only our reliance upon Him, but also our rights have been surrendered to Him. Our rights have been surrendered to Him. That is how Christ lived his life. He tells us over and over and over again that he didn't have the right to do anything on his own authority. He always acknowledged his Father. He always went to him in prayer. But his rights as a man was surrendered to his Father. And we too, when we are living a surrendered life to the Lord, in the sense that we know we don't have the right to determine the direction of our life, that's not that we've been bought at a price, we've been crucified with Christ, we don't have a right to govern our own lives anymore, and when that is evident in our daily journey, what we do is we diffuse the aroma of Christ, because that's how Christ lived. His rights were surrendered. God in flesh, dependent upon his Father, who said he didn't have the right to act outside of his leadership upon his life. And neither do we. Amen? Now, I know we do. I know you and I often do things that would not reflect that principle. Do things independent of him. Not surrendered over. Now, when we do that, we're not transferring that aroma of Christ, for sure. But when we repent and acknowledge that and get that right, hey, that's part of surrendering, amen? I turn that over to the Lord. I give it back to him. I want to be surrendered to him. I want him to govern my life. I want his truth to be what governs me, not my circumstances, not the situations that I'm in, not the trouble that I'm facing or the good times that I'm in. But I want my rights surrendered unto him. And when I'm doing that, Christ is leading me in triumph. And if he's leading, it's in triumph, it's in victory. He's diffusing that aroma out of my life. Let's look at the third thing. Not just our reliance and our rights, but also our resources are at his disposal. Our resources, that which is ours, belongs to him. We promote the Lord with great weight. We honor him. And there's times that we use our resources for ourselves, but when we are using what we have, whether it be our homes, whether it be our businesses, whether it be our money, whatever it is, when it is being used for the purpose of honoring and glorifying and lifting up the sweet name of Jesus and building up his body, we are diffusing his fragrance, his aroma, and causing people to remember the importance of letting not only our lives, but all that is attached with us to be used to advance his kingdom. People could smell Jesus. Amen? Amen. Causes them to remember. Does everything belong to him already? Amen. Does he allow us to be stewards over what we have? Yes. Are we to turn it over to him to be used as he sees fit? Does he give us things to use to enjoy and to be blessed by? Yes. But the priority of knowing that it is his and he can use it however he sees fit is a freeing thing. Amen? And he could be glorified through our lives. Number four, our readiness to be used. Our readiness to be used. Now, there's sometimes we find ourselves in a situation where we just don't want to have to go down that road. You know, we don't want to be in a position like that. And that normally happens when we really focus in on me. You ever just focus on you and your attention gets on you and what you have or don't have, and you're kind of looking at yourself and you're just not in a position and you make yourself ready to be used by the Lord and whatever he sees fit. Kind of you get in a hurry in life. You ever get in a hurry? So much as you just bypass people way too often that we can be used to help people. Some people we want to avoid because they seem to be problematic. You ever want to avoid somebody? Somebody ever call your house and you let your caller ID work for you and you don't pick up the phone? Now, y'all acting too spiritual in here for me right now. You ever see somebody in town that you're like, oh, no, let me go down the other aisle and get in another place? That happens too. You see people, sometimes you avoid people. Or you find somebody who's in a bad position and you, you, you kind of want to turn your head from it as if you didn't see it, though you knew you saw it. But if you felt like anybody else saw you see it, you'd be obligated to do something about it. So you really don't want anybody to know you was aware of it, so you don't have to get involved in it. It's just the idea, Lord, I want to make myself available for you to use me however it may be. There's a lot of things we all have to admit. There's some things we just don't want to do. And there's sometimes we've got to get our hands dirty in dealing with some people that are dirty. Amen? That's just part of it. But I'm thankful that the Lord Jesus made himself available to his Father to be used, who gave up glory, took upon flesh, and come down here and lived among us. Amen?
Amen.
Made himself ready, available. And when we are ready, Lord, I'm surrendered to you. My rights belong to you. I'm relying upon you. Lord, my resources at your disposal, I'll give, but I'm ready too. If you decide to send me to Zimbabwe, or if you decide to send me to Boyd, Alabama, or Scuba, or Briggs Chapel, or in the heart of Meridian, wherever it may be, I'm ready to be used by you. Oh, the sweet smell of Jesus just flows off our life. Amen?
Amen.
Simply saying this, in our service to the Lord, we don't put any limitations upon it. And then we understand we're limited in and of ourselves, but with his power and anointing upon our life to do his work, there is no limitations. And he's given us everything needful for godliness and for this life. And I make myself ready to be able to help people wherever they are. Kind of goes along with what 2 Corinthians 1 talks about. 2 Corinthians 1 talks about that God comforts us in whatever trouble we're going through so that we can help other people, whatever trouble they go through. You probably have heard this saying, we talked about this in Sunday school, that you really can't help me unless you walk down the same path I was on or you walked in my own shoes. Meaning, if you can't relate to me in the area of life that I'm having trouble in, you really can't help me. And you know, that is a world philosophy, but that's not a God principle. God's principle says this, that God comforts us in whatever type of trouble we're in so that we can be a comfort to other people in any kind of trouble they go through. How? By the way that he comforted us when we went through our trouble. The particular trouble is not highlighted that you have to go through this to be able to help somebody else in this. The emphasis is on that God helped you in your trouble, and by the means that he helped you, you can help somebody else. It doesn't matter what kind of trouble they may be in. You just share how he helped you in the trouble you were in, and it'll be a blessing to them. Amen?
Amen.
That's how God works. And I understand how that way of thinking. I know that I can relate to some people better than I can relate to others, and you can relate to some people by the circumstances you've been through and they've been through, but I don't necessarily and you don't necessarily have to walk in my shoes to be a comfort unto me. God is able to use you to be a blessing unto me, whether we can connect in the same type of trouble or not. But if he's helped you in any kind of trouble, he can help you use somebody else in any kind of trouble they go through, and that's a blessing. Amen? So I make myself ready to be used to help people. I don't necessarily have to go through cancer to be able to help somebody and encourage somebody and comfort somebody who's actually been through cancer. You don't necessarily have to go through a divorce to be able to minister to somebody and bless somebody and encourage somebody that's never been through a divorce. In our society, that principle is taught, unless you went through it, you really can't help me. But we know that's a lie, isn't it?
Amen.
Matter of fact, look at it. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. See how he words this. Look in verse number 4. Well, verse number 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of some comfort. Is that what it says? What does it say? All comfort. And that God, who's the God of all comfort, He comforts us in some of our troubles or afflictions. What does it say? All of our tribulation. Now, why does He do it? That purpose statement, that. He comforts us that we may be able to comfort them which are in a particular type of trouble. Is that what it says? Any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. See, the emphasis is made on the comfort, not the trouble. Amen? We then need to understand how important it is to make the emphasis on the comfort, not the type of trouble somebody's in. Now, we want to be able to understand why they are in the position they're in, what they're going through. It's not that we disregard that. It's the fact that I can be used to be a blessing to somebody because God's blessed me in the trouble I've been in. And I just share with them about the journey I walked down and how He met me and walked with me and helped me. And in relating that, I can help somebody regardless of whatever they've been through or what they're in at that time. Amen? That's just saying, God, I make myself ready to be used. I don't actually have to know what it's like to go through that to be a blessing to somebody. And I don't have to run from that. I can help them. Amen. Because You're the God of all comfort. And when You comfort, You often comfort through people. And You comforted me so that I can be a comfort to somebody else. And in all actuality, it's never really been all about me. It's all been about You and how You choose to use me to be a blessing to You and Your people. So I'll make myself ready. Amen. And when we're there, oh, people smell Jesus. Amen? They smell Jesus. It causes them to remember. Before we go, let's look real quick again. Let's look one more. Number 5. Our race, when we run our race for His joy, when we run the race that God's given us with joy, that means the course in life that He's chosen for us, the purpose in life, when we run it with joy, people can smell Jesus. Because Jesus' race that He had took Him to a cross. And the Scripture says He endured the shame of the cross for the joy that was set before Him. Amen? And when we can run our journey, our race, whatever that is, and we can run it with joy, people see Christ at work in us. And what a blessing it is to be able to be used in such a manner. Amen? Amen. There's a few more that we can look at and talk about. But there's something unique that takes place that we help people remember what Christ has done for them when He is diffusing the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. And it's such a blessing to know that He chooses to use people like myself and like you to do that. To share His presence, His aroma, His fragrance, who He is, what He does through our lives to be a blessing to others. What a high honor. As Paul would say, who is sufficient for these things? Humbly and honestly, simply saying that outside of Christ, we're insufficient for us. But because He's made us servants, ministers, and He's written upon our heart the testimony of His love, He's made us sufficient servants to share His fragrance wherever we go. What a blessing. What a blessing. Would you stand with me? Father, we thank You. Give You praise and glory. We ask that You help us recognize how important it is for us to make ourselves ready to be used, knowing that You desire to use us, knowing that You are, and that You're able to help people find life through what you're doing in our journey. We give you praise and thanksgiving and ask that you just strengthen us and encourage and empower and fill us with your Spirit to accomplish your purposes upon this earth. In Jesus' name, amen.